Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
New King James, Jeremiah 22, 25. And I will give you into the hand of those who seek your life and into the hand of those whose face you fear, the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and in the hand of the Chaldeans. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, lamp unto our feet, light upon our path. We pray for revelation tonight. Holy Spirit, that you would come, do whatever I could never do, and touch the hearts of people. And bring revelation and understanding from your word. We depend upon you tonight. Pray for an anointing upon myself. We thank you for what you're doing already in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What an interesting text. Title of the message is, Whose Face Do You Fear? Because as I was reading this, it just stuck out to me that particularly it says they feared the face of the Chaldeans. But if you go, you can actually go take a look at 2 Kings 24, would you like to? Because that is who is being prophesied about, who Jeremiah is prophesying about in this moment, the king in Judah at that moment. But they feared the face of the Chaldeans. They feared the face of Nebuchadnezzar. And what stirred in me is that they should have feared the face of the Lord. But in the life of the nation at that time, the difference maker was what the Chaldeans would do. And I believe that what was probably spoken about often in the palace, boy, if they do this, what do we do? If they do that, what do we do? Well, maybe even whispered throughout the homes instead of talking about the things of God, right? And at this time, the nation is turned away from the Lord, but that's what it should have been, right? Throughout the homes and throughout the places, the face, you know, our face fearing the Lord is not fearing like he's going to punish us. No, it's a reverence and a love and a growing understanding that we have of him that causes him to become greater and greater and greater in our understanding. They didn't fear God. There was no facing God. They had removed facing God. But they feared the face of the Chaldeans. What you fear is actually what you believe has power. That was the decision maker for the nation at the time because they knew the power of the Chaldeans. But they'd forgot the power of God. They knew the power of Nebuchadnezzar, but they forgot the power of El Shaddai. They forgot the power of the one that brought their nation out of Egypt. They forgot the power of the one whom established a great nation under King David. They no longer looked to his face. And that power made the decisions in their lives and for the nation. They didn't see God. The face you fear has power in your life. The face you fear has power in your life. The face you fear, it will decide which way you go. The decisions that you make. Do you fear the face of the Lord? Or do you fear the economy? You fear the things within your body? Does that drive you? What is the motivation? Is it the facing yourself towards the Lord to understand how great he is, or allowing fear to become the deciding power? Let me show you another verse. Job 3:25, if the media team could throw it up. Job says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." People contend concerning the life of Job and what caused the devil, to be able to operate in the life of Job. Some thought it would be pride, but it doesn't really line up there. And it says that he's blameless, so it seems kind of a conundrum. If he's blameless, then how could the enemy have opportunity to operate into his life? But we see the key right here, that he lived a life of fearing that these things would happen. Oh, what if my children died? What if this happened? What if everything gets wiped out? This is what filled us. It says, "What I greatly feared has happened." And when we are consumed by those fears, I'll say it this way: Job feared it into his life. Job feared those things into his life. Just like we can, through faith, see things released into our lives, the enemy wants to, by fear, see us release negative things into it. It gives him opportunity to operate just like he operated in the life of Job. And it's constantly that we allow this to happen without understanding. You let your thoughts and what-ifs go wild in your life. And then when it happens, you say, "Well, that's what I was afraid of. Well, that's what I was afraid of." When we must understand that what you fear has power. And so when you come to those places within your mind, you've got to replace that fear with faith from the Lord, faith from the Word, putting your faith towards Him that negates that fear. Because if you allow it to propagate, if you allow it to build up within yourself, just like Job, what you greatly feared will be released. You know, another translation of Jeremiah 22:25 says, instead of they feared the face of the Chaldeans, it says they greatly feared the Chaldeans, just like it talks about with Job. So that fear, people think that what we allow our thoughts to just go through are fine. I'm not doing anything. I'm not sinning. I'm not causing any problems. Yeah, but if you are going through, what's the word I'm looking for? But if you're going through different scenarios of how things are going to go wrong, and that's what you lay around thinking about, and then that's what you see happen. There's got to be a changing of our mindsets, because fear will rob you of life. Fear will rob you. And it's often something that people don't recognize because they don't see it in the right light. Job feared that into his life. You've got to shift all your outlooks to faith. All the outlooks must be to faith. See, the enemy works overtime to get us out of the life of faith, because the life of faith is everything. Are you a faith preacher? Yeah, I'm a faith preacher. There shouldn't be no other, because we're believers, right? Any believers? We're believers. That means we're supposed to have faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you've got to get your faith from the Word. But the enemy wants to derail that Word out of your life by fear. Let's figure out something to believe for. You can believe for a prosperous business. The Bible says that everything that you would put your hands to as a believer will prosper, especially as a tither. It says in Scripture that you will be successful in everything that you do. We see the blessing upon the life of Abraham, and we see the blessing on the life of the different ones, Joseph in Scripture, that what they operated in, because they were with God, or God was with them, it multiplied and it prospered and it grew. But you begin to pursue that, and the enemy will come with, "It's never going to work. You've never done something like that. Your family's never done something like that." How are you going to deal with this? How are you going to deal with that? And the constant barrage of things to bring these fear thoughts to eat away at the faith until it produces that which it fails already and you haven't started. It produces what it intended. Maybe you're believing for health, some healing within your body in the same way. You will get your scriptures, is what you need to do as someone who lives by faith and say, by his wounds, I am healed. That it is finished. It's already done. He says so in scripture. He sent his word and he healed me. Right? And so you get your scriptures lined up and you begin to follow along the lines of that. And you declare it and you walk it out. But the symptoms come. And the different discouragements come, and no longer are you standing in faith, but the fear has eaten away because you allow it to continue to speak those corrosive things that eat away at it. We're to be a people of faith, not just getting by, but prospering. The Bible says that we're to prosper in all ways. The prayer from Ephesians, I think, is to be in health, prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. That there's a prospering. One of my favorite verses is enriched in every way. To be generous on every occasion. This is how I take that. I'm rich in my health. I'm rich in my wealth. I'm rich in my relationships. And that's what I declare every single day. And because I'm rich in my health, I can do things for the Lord. I can serve God. I can help other people. I'm a blessing wherever I go. I pick up extra trash. I do above and beyond because I'm rich in my health. I'm rich in my wealth. So I tithe. So I give. So I bless people. I look for ways to bless people. I find people's shoe size so I can buy them shoes or whatever is needed. That's that looking to be generous. I'm generous with my relationships. I'm looking to grow relationships and build healthy relationships with people and allow people to glean from the health of the relationship that God has put with me and my wife and me and my children so that it can impact them as well. All right. So there's a faith for that to walk out the lifestyle of being enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. But if you're living in the place of fear, you will not have that because faith and fear are opposite directions. Faith and fear do not cooperate. They cannot coexist. Fear is the wannabe of faith. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, right? So we get a hope from the Lord, from the word, from whatever it is. And so our faith is the means to getting to that hope vision. It's the means by getting to that place to see it fulfilled, right? Not by sight, but by faith. It takes faith. Not by sight, not by feeling. It takes faith. But fear, like faith, motivates. Fear can motivate you to do things you thought you would never do. I'm reminded of this fake nuclear alarm in Hawaii. A number of years ago, I wonder how many people reacted very poorly because of that fear and did terrible things. And we hear stories of terrible things being done because of fear. But what is it that you greatly fear? If I were to say that I feared anything, it's to dishonor the Lord. It's to, I can't even say. It all comes down to that place. What is your motivation? Do you have things that are being motivating you and driving your financial decisions in your business, where you know it's not right necessarily, but the fear of economic collapse, the fear of this or that, causes you to fudge things a little bit, leave things out a little bit, instead of walking in faith, which means obeying the word of the Lord, because of a little bit of fear? Maybe your children are getting ready to leave the house, growing up and moving on. And because of fear, you're responding to them like you never have responded before, because you don't know how to deal with the feelings of fear that you have, that they're leaving, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen with your relationship with them. You don't know what's going to happen as they leave out into the world. And what you're trying to do through your all of a sudden fear at the end to grasp as much as you can is somehow pushing them further away, and you don't know what to do. Look at the motivation. Oh, I just want to spend time. I understand, but is there an underlying fear that's... Imagine what we just talked about. People often afraid of their kids leaving and distancing themselves from them, right? But if you, by fear, try and grab as much time as you can, guess what? What you greatly feared is going to happen quicker. They're going to already be trying to get out of your grasp. And if you're dealing with that, we've got great help here for parenting. Fear. What is there? Fear. Is there an underlying fear motivating you that you don't know what's going to happen with your life? You don't know if there's actually something that your life has purpose or not, and so you don't know how to live. You don't know how to respond to people because there's a fear that you are worthless. There's a fear that you don't make a difference. All these things are brought by the enemy to hinder you and to keep you from the things of God and keep you from the walk of faith, to keep you from fully fulfilling what he's called you to do. Fear is a robber. Fear is a robber. Fear is like it's a lie. You have to understand. The enemy will come with these things and to eat away at your faith. Let me say this. You got to shift all your outlooks to faith. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's one of the great verses to memorize, Isaiah 41:10. God says to you, you need to take it like that. You need to take it like God is looking to you and speaking to you. And you need to hold it like that. No, you take it like that and you hold it. You keep it. You mull it over. You put it in front of you. He says, fear not. You know why I don't fear? Because my Father said, fear not. Because the creator of the universe looked me in the eye and he said, fear not. He made a connection with me and he said, fear not, for I am with you. You can't get any better than that. You can't get any better than I am with you. People just read over verses like that and quote them like as nothing. Fear not, for I am with you. You know, when we're out and about as a family, I've got a bunch of children and different ages. Soon to be 17, all the way down to 6. And when we're out in the woods and we're out and about, they're not worried about anything. They're not looking about. They're skipping around. Why? Because I'm with them. They're not concerned about one little thing because I'm with them. Yet we concern ourselves with every little thing. And he says, fear not, for I am with you. One of the great verses, Acts 10:38, says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It makes all the difference. Don't ever nullify, push down that statement. You must have God with you. But if you're living in fear, you're living in the opposite of what God is doing. He's not going to operate in that place. He says, don't fear. Fear not. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I'm not enough. Okay, I will strengthen you. I don't think I can do it. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How much easier can you get it to overcome these fears? You're going to do what he said that you're going to do. You're going to fulfill the plan for your life. You're going to move into that thing that he's burned into your heart, that vision. But it will happen as long as you don't turn away to the right or to the left. Let me say this. We're about to have our power conference. Looking forward to that in February. And the main thrust of that is the prophetic, hearing from the Lord and getting personal prophecy, God speaking into our lives, encouraging things. And what can happen is that there will be some encouraging word. God has called me to the ministry of healing, and he's going to do this through my life. Pastor, I got this great word. And then over the years, they don't see anything happen. And a few more years, they don't see anything happen, and they keep getting similar words. And they go, Pastor, well, is God ever going to do anything? I said, well, what have you done towards that type of ministry? Well, nothing. I'm waiting for God. He's not going to go before you or make you to do it. There's a stepping out that must happen. But we'll be robbed if we hear the word, but don't step forward into action that produces. People often think, they have faith, or they're operating in faith, when they equate faith with a feeling. I came to church and sang some songs and heard an encouraging word, and I'm full of faith. And now I'm going to go live a life of faith. But then when you've got to go and step into the actual walking out of effective faith, you find that it's more than a feeling. You've got to have more substance than a feeling. I don't know how that song is. Jeff told me to sing that, my brother-in-law. I don't know. You can just blame him if that is a bad song. But people often equate their feelings as faith. But when they come to the place where faith is required to move forward, they find that they don't have it. Why? Because faith comes from hearing the word. That is where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the word. Not having heard the word, hearing the word. Hearing and hearing the word. Constantly getting it within you and keeping it in front of you. But if you don't do that, fear will derail what God is trying to get you into. It's not okay to keep on fearing. It's robbing you of the things of God. It says, Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm believing for that, and I'm seeing it more and more, just that abundant life, and more than I've ever seen before, the fulfillment of his promises. But it didn't come through fearfully begging him to answer my prayers. It didn't come through being on my knees praying for hours because I'm afraid that if I don't, he won't do what he said he's going to do. It doesn't operate like that. That's another place of fear, and people try to engage the Father through fear. And you're not going to see answered prayer through fear-filled prayers. So what do? We got to change our channel. Your channel must be changed. We've got to flip what we're seeing, what we're allowing into our minds. And number one, deal with any current fears. Let's deal with them. Deal with them. Go talk to someone. Whatever it is, the life-controlling thing, whatever fear is keeping you up, whatever fear is affecting your decisions and your relationships, and maybe you can't have relationships at church because you're afraid of this or afraid of that, come and get the healing. Let's deal with the fear. So right away, if you're noticing fear and you're seeing a recurrence or you're seeing a constant thing that hinders you, deal with it. I love the story from Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who talks about having a fear of heights. And I believe the story goes that he got on a glass elevator that was, I don't know how many stories, and he took it all the way to the top. And he's, from what I understand, laying there, shaking, terrified. But he did that until he wasn't afraid, until he was no longer afraid. But we go through life allowing fear to control our decisions instead of dealing with those fears. Number two, surround yourself with the things of faith. Surround yourself with the things of faith. Make it what you're listening to, what the people around you are talking faith, and what the music is faith. Not all Christian music is faith. There's so much Christian music I have to turn off because I just get irritated. Oh, I'm crying for my miracle. Oh, Lord. We sound real spiritual. But if it doesn't come, I'll be okay. Catch my tears. It's my application for the worship team. I was with my son in the car and I heard a song like that and I flipped it off. I said, there is so much wrong with that, because if he's given us a promise for a miracle, if he's given us a promise for something, then I'm going to press on and press through until it's done. He's not like man who would lie. He says the truth. And so if he says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do it. I'm not going to sing some sad song that it's okay that he didn't fulfill his promise. It's not okay. It wasn't his problem. Somewhere along the line, we missed the boat. I get irritated when I hear those songs and I get stirred up, and then my kids have to hear me preaching in the car after that. But that comes with surrounding yourself with things of faith so you recognize what's not faith. Because in Christianity, we can get them, we can mix up in our vocabulary and end up speaking negatively and fearfully when we think it's faith. How do you do that? There's so much available today, but the number one way is the Word. If you're not getting in the Word as a Christian, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Everything that we need is right here. You need healing, it's right here. You need a miracle, it's right here. You need finances, let me shake it for you because it's right here. All of it's in here. You need a healthy marriage, it's in here. You need help with your children, it's in here. All of it's in here. But you've got to take the time to search it out and to get it within you, to get it in your spirit, to be one who is diligently in the words, and the word gets in you. The word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And people try and get faith from other ways. Surround yourself with things of faith. Be in church just like you are tonight. Keep coming. Continue to come to church. If you're online, come to church. Surround yourself with people of faith. I love hanging out with people of faith because they challenge me. I don't like hanging around with fearful people and discouraged people and negative people. I try and help them, but I'm going to find a different group. I'm going to find a group that that is pursuing the things of God, that gets me kind of stirred up, that makes me want to dance, that starts talking about things and makes me want to dance. See, look what the Lord has done. And it changes how you live out your life. You walk around with people who talk of testimonies and the word, and then it begins to permeate your life. To surround yourself with things of faith. Number three, get control of your imagination. Get control of your imagination. No longer should you sit there and go through that conversation again and again and again, or go through different scenarios of fear. They say you've got a meeting tomorrow. You're called to your supervisor's office. And so all the way up to that, you're in your imagination thinking of all the different terrible scenarios that it could be. And you're filling yourself with that fear, and it's affecting you how you're responding to your children. It's affecting the different parts of your life. You've got to get control of your imagination, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And heart and mind are connected in Scripture. And so what you get into yourself is what's going to come out. And so if your imaginings are fearful imaginings of what is negative, then guess what comes out of your mouth? Negative, fearful things. I believe that that's what happened to Job, because it can't be in your heart too long before it comes out of your mouth. And once it comes out of your mouth, it's a confession. And that confession, it's a declaration that produces. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. You know what happens when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? What happens with that confession? Everything changes because of confession. That we've got to control our imaginations. Can you open that water for me real quick? You got to control the imagination. If you let it run wild with all these different things, you're sitting at home and constantly watching these negative shows and about cheating husbands at work, and then all you're thinking about is he's got to be cheating at work. I'm starting to see the signs and these little things. That happens all across America in Christian homes because imagination has gone wild and has not been reined in. The Bible says we're to take captive every thought and submit it to Christ. I test people when I talk to them all the time. Hey, how you doing at work? It's okay. You believe in for any kind of promotion or a raise or anything like that? No, I'm just trying to get through. Why aren't you believing for it? The Bible says that you're to prosper in everything that you do. You should be believing to prosper in your work, because according to God's word, everything you do, you should prosper. But we turn that off because we don't fill our imagination with the things of the word. Imagining that when you go into Walmart to pray for people, they'll be healed. You fill your imagination with the things of God and things of the word, things of faith. It'll change how you walk out your life. And then number four, Spend time with him. Spend time with him. You want to live a life out of sight of fear, stay close to him. He's so great. I can't quote it great, Psalm 91, because I've started memorizing it a couple times in different translations, and now I get mixed up when I try and quote it. But there's the beginning about dwelling in the shadow of the Most High. And I just thought to imagine that. And you can imagine yourself as life's problems, just for a moment, as an example, is the congregation. You're not, kind of. But if I'm focused on life's problems, it's going to take a lot of my life. But if I'm going under the shadow, wow, I've never seen that part of you. You're so amazing. Wow, I can't even barely comprehend. Oh, and there's another revelation of how it's spending that time with the Almighty. We don't get it. He's the creator of all things who is outside of time. And he is the all-sufficient one who needs nothing and is everything. And we can barely conceive any part of him, yet we can spend time with him. And when you spend time with him, the things of fear have no hold any longer. I've shared this before. The reason that David could go up against Goliath is because he wasn't looking about how well he was going to go up against the giant. He was looking, his perspective was, no, this giant's got to go up against God. That's how he saw it. From that faith-filled perspective in the shadow of the Most High. No, you don't have to deal with me. You've got to deal with him. And that's anything that will come up against that which God has said you can do, said you can be, said you can have, is you take the word and you come against that thing, because if he said you can have it, you can have it. He said you can do it, you can do it. Would you come and play? Whose face do you fear? Time in his presence can tell. It's not a fear with him as much as it's a fear of not being with him, as much as a fear of stepping out of sync with him, doing something to step out of right relationship with him. Because outside of him, I can do nothing. But are you fearing other things, and that's what fuels your decisions? You need to make a shift today, because the walk of faith is so much more fun. It's full of joy, full of the increase of God. It's his desire to do mighty works within your life. Maybe there's something you've known you've needed to do, but you've been afraid to do it. A legal thing, a relational conversation. A difficult conversation that needs to happen. Don't let fear make your decisions. Faith. Always faith. And that faith begins with knowing Jesus. I want to give you opportunity all across this place here this evening. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And that means that we're all separated from God. But Pastor, didn't you just say that you need to spend time with him, with God? Yeah, but the problem is that if you've got sin in your life, you can't, because he's holy. He's a holy God. And if you die with those that sin in your life, you spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell. But I want you to understand tonight, all those here and those online, God loved you so much and wanted a relationship with you so much that he sent his own son, Jesus, to come and live a life without sin, to die in your place, to take your sin upon himself and the punishment for it, which is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, which we see on the third day after his death. God raised Jesus from the dead. But just because he did that doesn't mean it automatically applies to you to pay for your sin and to wash you clean. No, you have to choose to receive it. Everyone gets the choice. And it's a choice of faith to receive it, receive him as your Lord and your Savior. The head bowed, eyes closed all across this room. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three in just a moment, and I want you to lift your hand if you want to receive him. This is your moment to be washed clean and have a relationship with God. But secondly, maybe you've asked him into your life in the past, but you've not been living right, and you know you're disconnected from him, and you need to recommit your life to him. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand as well. To all these under the sound of my voice, if you fall into any of those categories, lift your hand. And one, two, three. I see that hand. I see that hand in the back. Wonderful. I see that hand on the side in the back there. I see that hand in the other side. Praise God. Anybody else? Wonderful. You can put your hand down. Why don't you stand up on your feet? And we're going to pray a prayer together. Everybody's going to pray out loud, but I don't want you just to repeat it. You got to mean it from your heart. So write out loud, say, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. In your name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, put your hands together for those who've given their hearts to the Lord. Praise God, forever changed. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, if you prayed that for the first time or recommitted your heart to the Lord, we want to help you to grow in the things of God. Would you please talk to somebody at the front desk or text SAVE to 907-357-2065. You see it on the screen. But before we go, I want to pray for you concerning this word. Maybe you're struggling with fear. I'm going to pray for that. God's going to touch you. And then automatically there's a fear. What if he doesn't? You've got to get rid of that. What if he doesn't? You got to get rid. According to his word, the Bible says that when we pray, he hears our prayers and he answers them. So that fear is going tonight. That fear is not ruling your life any longer. That fear is not subject. You're not subject to that fear. It's subject to you. Because you're a believer, a person of faith. The Bible says that everyone born of God overcomes the world. What is the victory that's overcome this world? Even our faith. Our faith. If you're a believer, you have faith that overcomes fear. So right now, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for those that are here that struggle with reoccurring fears or controlling fears. things that are working within their lives. And I break off that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I break off that working of fear that has hindered their lives. It will hinder no longer. It will hold you back any longer. It won't direct your life any longer. We run that fear out of our lives, and it will not be in our kids, and it will not be in our families. Fear will not be known within us. It will not be known within our homes. We choose to be a people of faith. And we thank you. We thank you that today is a breakthrough moment into faith. Fear is gone. Faith is come. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.